Eiv 19. So Eiv criticizes friends for dealing unfairly, dealing harshly with him. And he says, in the Pasuk Dalet, he says, even if I sinned, he says, Afamnam shagisi itito le meshugasi. He says, even if I have sinned, the sin remains with me. So you certainly don't know about it. So what right do you have to criticize me for the sin? If as far as you're concerned, it doesn't exist. What he means is like this. He means that they weren't functioning as friends. Why did he call them, really? He called them to discuss the topic, right? So as long as they don't discuss the topic based upon what he tells them, you see, then they're not functioning as friends anymore. I mean, they're putting in different facts that he didn't submit. So it's just plain accusations. In other words, they should have said, well, look, if it's the way you say... You see, if it's the way you say, then we don't have any answer. You see? Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, he is not operating, he's not functioning. They're not functioning as he expects them to.
It's redundancy.
You know what I mean? That's the point.
Like a redundancy.
Yeah, things like this. That he has a problem. What is Eve's problem? Eve's problem like this. That he says he didn't sin and he's suffering, right? Right? So now the thing is like this. He wants them to explain the situation based upon the facts, right? Not to bring the facts about from the situation. In other words, what was it? His tie to them is that they're not operating properly. Why? Because what they're doing is they're bringing in facts based upon the situation. What he wants is an explanation of the situation based upon the facts.
Right.
You understand what I mean? So according to the... In other words, do they have any facts here that would lead them to explain the situation? No. So therefore, they're reversing it. They're saying, we see the situation, therefore we're concluding these are the facts. That's not what he wants from them. Yes, exactly. That's not explaining the situation.
Right.
Explaining the situation is to take in all the facts into consideration, and now show me why this results. I have X. What is Y result? Explain the purpose the reason why he called them to him to work with him was to explain why this situation resulted given the facts, right? Now what they're doing is they're explaining facts given the situation, just the reverse. That was his taina. When Eve is arguing with them, he's saying they failed in serving him, because the point is he also knows this, that when you have a certain result that there must be certain facts, so he wouldn't come to them. Well, yeah, what's the purpose of telling me that? I don't need you for that. So you're telling me that the results show that I was a chote. So then what did I come to you for? I came to you on the contrary. I want you to explain to me the facts that I have, to explain to me how this can result. And what are you doing on the contrary? You're telling me that the facts are distorted. So what do I need you for? The marshal I gave you good. Let's say, for instance, you'd say that scientists get together. They say, well, we know a certain phenomenon only occurs in the presence of light waves. And we don't understand this. There were no light waves. So say, no, there were light waves. I mean, that's not the, it's not explaining the, not explaining the phenomena. Right. Well, we explained 18, it fits in very well. It was protective device on their part, but they couldn't listen. In other words, they couldn't even listen to the possibility of the question. That's the point. They couldn't listen to the possibility, they couldn't accept the possibility of the question. Immediately, they had to change the facts. We said last time that in 18, they were trying to protect their own, religious prejudice. You know what I mean? Their own they wouldn't accept any even the possibility of Eve's point being having any validity. They couldn't accept it.
In other words, they can be punished for that over reason.
Yeah. Up to this point, he is maintaining that God is actively involved in destroying him.
Waging a war against him.
Yeah, waging war against him. That's what he's maintaining. See? The assumption is that nothing takes place in this world without God's will. That's the assumption. So therefore, he's saying it is God's will that I should be destroyed bit by bit. That's his argument.
That's suffering.
He goes back to, well, the person removes the justice and remains with the other premises. This is what the result is. He's showing you how the result, what the result is. The result of believing in a God that exists and that is involved, has knowledge of what goes on in the world, is involved with the world, But accepting the phenomena of Eve is this result. This is what results from that premise, that God is waging war against him. He shows you logically the premise that result. What results from the premises that he's working with? You understand? There's nothing to do with the fact that he refutes other premises along the way. He still goes back to his original premise. Safe is to show what results from different premises. These are the premises he's operating with.
Okay.
That's your test. Tiavuni kol masei sodi. My Tiavuni kol mesei sodi. In me, Tiavuni kol mesei sodi. Interesting. Mesei sodi means my clique. That's mesei sodi. So mesei sodi means the ones who are members of. Sod means a secret. We share certain things in common. It's a clique. You know what I mean? Cliques always have little secrets. So he says his own little clique, his own inner circle. His own inner circle have despised him. See, he's expressing the suffering. That's one of the most painful things that a person could suffer, is to have his personal friends that are
criticized,
that he accepts as part of his clique, to criticize him and to ostracize him. This is a tremendously powerful emotional pain. So Eve didn't just suffer physically. He's describing all the emotional suffering, psychological suffering that he went through, which is even greater than the physical suffering. Yes. Because he talks more about that than the physical suffering. What? It doesn't include the friends. So it would mean that he felt that they didn't have that closeness anymore. This broke the bond between them. You see, now they were just discussing with them, but the bond of friendship was gone already. So that was it. Lost his friends. The Mitzvah says, "Kol echad me'omdim po lefonai, asher ahavti me'olam hinei nefchu lai lo'ivim v'yechrefu asei." The Suda says it means even his closest friends. So it's wrong when people say, how come Eve didn't lose his friends? He did lose his friends. True, they sat around with him to discuss it. But according to this Pasuk, and the Pshat in the Pasuk was seen that way, that unless he had closest circles in there, then why weren't those people there? But he did lose them. He lost them. He lost them as a clique. A person identifies a certain clique. That was lost. That was gone already. The only thing that was left was philosophical discussion. You don't want to associate with. A lot of things is the fact that he was sick, the fact that he was despised. These things affect the person's standing in a circle, no matter how much he wants to believe that they're totally altruistic. But the fact remains that they're, and all these things, these are emotional things. And since they're emotional things, they depend upon certain situations. So that the greatest friendship, most of the friendships that are experienced by people, by humanity, are friendships which are avashatulim b'davar. To depend on one thing or another. Once those things are gone,
yes,
and that's it, right? Very few friendships that depend upon the essence of the person. Okay, so therefore, although people want to believe when they're involved in these friendships that these friendships are really true and authentic, but the fact remains they really aren't. These friendships are based upon other things which the person doesn't see at the time. But then all of a sudden, a little twist takes place, yeah, and that's it. Friends are gone. That's what happened to you. Okay. Yeah, even his wife, which is a person's closest, the closest relationship, she couldn't take him either. She abhorred him also. Well, let me put it this way. All the emotional relations of satisfaction that satisfy a person in his lifetime were gone, completely gone. That's what that's the picture that Eve draws. Okay. It's worse. Means like, entered by them not accepting. See, his taina to them was they're not being friends to at least honestly accept the fact that he's portraying to them. See, this was the thing. The real thing was that this situation brought a conflict between them and him. He couldn't even use his friends. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't get together on this point because they couldn't accept this point. They couldn't give him any comfort at all in his situation because they have to deny his situation. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a situation of pain. It's an unbelievable situation where he can't even express to them, he can't even share with them in the situation because they won't believe the facts. He's saying this is the worst torture for him. So he says, you're really torturing me. It's an unbelievable thing. Say that my words should be written down. Let me put it this way. I think the pshat is that he means that when a person says that he wants his words written down in the future, what he meant was like this. He meant that that's how certain I am that what I'm saying is objective and true. See? In other words, at a future date, the future removes the personal animosities. You see a lot of times in history, people aren't recognized till Achar Meiskedei Shememar, like they say. Why? History justifies. Why? Because it is true. Truth is, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, Shem Yerushalayim Yerakev, and Zecher Tzadik Levracha. See, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Because during his lifetime, he's not Levracha, because people's emotions are against him. See, but Zecher, the remembrance, is Levracha, because then the people, the next generation, don't have any personal emotions against him. See? And same thing, Shem Yerushalayim Yerakev. The Rush, on the contrary, people are with the Rush during his lifetime because he caters to their emotions. See? But then afterwards, his name rots. Why? Because afterwards there's no one around to benefit from those evil emotions. They just look at him objectively and say, hey, this was an evil man. You see? That's the same thing over here. He says, Mi'itain eifa v'yikosvin miloi, mi'itain basefa v'yichaku. They should be inscribed in a book, because what he is certain that he is right and that he is being objective. And even generations from now, if they'll read this, they'll be able to see that this is the truth. Yeah. I think what it means is, and the only pshat in the Goyali means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't mean who is redeeming him, it means who can redeem him. I think that's what he means. He means he believes in the existence of God. And it's even more painful because he knows that God exists, and nevertheless, God doesn't help him. That's the only pshat, but how it fits in with the context of the
can redeem him, right.
He says, "V'acharori nikfuzosu mipsori echzeleka, asherani echzeli ve'enai rovelozor kolu kuyose b'cheki." What he means is that he knows God exists. It's even more painful because he knows God exists. He knows he has knowledge of Him, and he also knows that he is suffering, and he also knows that the injustice. He's showing the torturous complexity, the contradiction that he's involved in. He's involved in a contradiction which tortures him. Why? He knows God exists. He knows that God knows of him. And he knows also that he is suffering and that he is just. You see, Mipsori Echzeleka. Asher ani Echzeli ve'enai ro v'lozor. I know myself, he says, the pain I'm going through. I know myself what's going on. So he is the only one that knows, that has this contradiction, has knowledge of this contradiction. Goes back to the fact that he has knowledge of a certain contradiction, a painful contradiction, which he can't even give over to anybody else. That's what I think the Jews are. Expressing the fact that they will not even listen to him, and he is the only one that has this knowledge, and therefore the pain is even greater, because it's a contradiction that he can't share. He knows it himself. I know the one who can redeem me. Goyali, I think, means, I think Pshat, Goyali means God, who can redeem me. You see? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, ani roya mishpatim. So that's the way I'm saying Pshat. And sorry, from I see the fact that I'm being afflicted. Yeah, from my flesh. Okay, good. So a lot of the sefer has to do with the description of his affliction.
Why
do
you do that? Did you say in the beginning why it doesn't?
Well, the descriptions are necessary in order to bring the reality of the situation to the reader. That's why you have to have the descriptions over here. You know, there's a purpose in the descriptions. Bring the reality of the situation, show you what it is. I mean, to present the situation. Most people do not accept it because they don't want to accept that this is going on. They just why don't people? So people say, well, they don't worry about God's justice until something hits them. What happened before? Because they don't want to believe these things are happening. The emotions block it out. You know, I mean, the suffering is going on in others. They don't want to accept it. But when they see it in themselves, then it's a different story. Part of the description is to make it vivid and clear to those who read it that this is really actually happening. Is it actually happens? It can actually happen to them. Go ahead. Like this, he says that according to them they're contradictory because they themselves maintain that God punishes people who do evil. But if that's the case, then they are doing evil. I think we mentioned this before. This kind of, that's the case. They are doing evil because they're not accepting they're not being a friend to Him in terms of reality. They're not being a friend to Him because they're denying the facts which He's presenting them. So therefore, they deserve a punishment. So therefore, according to their theory, they themselves will be punished. That's what he told them.
Near death.
What he's telling them is based upon your facts. Based upon your theory is that there is such thing as justice, right? And you definitely are performing an injustice by denying the reality of the facts that I'm presenting you.
You're going to get it also.
Yeah, so therefore you have to say you're going to suffer also. Wait. This itself is a terrible of error. What are you doing? Right. That's right. He's trying to show them that according to their premises they're acting contradictory. To them is that based upon the facts that they have, in other words, they know him as a friend for so many years, right? They have no reason to assume that the man is lying over here. So therefore, it would be an injustice to falsely accuse the guy without any basis. The only reason they're doing it is to distort the situation so it should fall in line with their theories. Yeah. Oh, that's an evil. That's an evil. That's what he was saying to them. That what they're doing is an evil because they're distorting the facts. They know him. Based upon the way that they know him, they must assume that what he's saying is the truth. And here they're denying it.
And you'll get it also.
Where do you get his premises from? That there is a God, and that God knows all, and that God's Ashgacha relates to this world. Where did he get those three premises from? Was the Rambam said he had it from tradition. That's what the Rambam says.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this could be
occurred from before. But the point is that he accepted it on the base of tradition, which means that from some Masara that he had. This Masara is before the Torah. From Avinu, from Shem Ve'Ever, he had some Masara. Rambam insisted that the Eiv knew from Masara, not from Chachma. See? Not from Chachma. Yeah. Okay. It doesn't say, in the beginning of the Sefer, it doesn't say Ish Chacham. It says Tam, V'yosha, V'rei, Elokim, Asur Mara. I think we mentioned that. So Rambam says he was not a Chacham. He knew from Masara. Okay. Eiv said to Tzofar, I don't see any plan. So Tzofar is showing him that there is a plan. You do see there is some plan. Maybe we don't understand the full plan, but there is some signs of a plan.
You're just saying how it works.
Right, how it works.
He wasn't saying
it. Going back to deal in general. Yes? I said that's true. That was from the good man. That was with the good man, right? But over here he's dealing with the evil man. See, it's a different side of the coin. It's a good question about but it's taken from two sides of the coin. Why is it taken from those two sides? We'll see. I'll tell you what, read through the next paragraph of Eve, then we'll analyze the whole thing together. This is what Eve says. 21. Interesting. You have before you get to the Chof Aleph, before you get to before you get to 22, he goes, "Shall any teach God knowledge?" An odd machlekes here. An odd machlekes, because you have like this. In 20, Tzofar says what? Tzofar presents the argument that the wicked really suffer, and then Eve says the exact opposite. He says. He says, no, he says, the houses are safe without fear, the children dance, they have flocks, they die suddenly without pain, they take them down to the grave, and their families live on, and they have prosperity and wealth, and they don't need, they're not lacking anything, they're very happy, they live an enjoyable life, what more, they have all total security, and you see they don't search for God because they're very happy with what they have. So he says, that's what Eve says. It would seem like an odd phenomenon to have, it's like an argument in the Metzius. What are the facts? And so far on the one hand says that the wicked suffer, and then Eve on the other hand says no, that they don't. How would you explain it? You have an argument between two intelligent people about what the facts are. Let's just sit down and take a look. What are the facts? Do the wicked suffer or do they not suffer? I mean, Eve says they're prosperous and they're happy and they live the rest of their days. That's the facts. And then what does Sofer say about that?
What is the suffering?
To be a machlekes and metzias. How can it be an argument about facts? I would say that Sofer's argument was that it is true that on the whole, the Russia, we're talking about a real Russia, on the whole, the Russia usually loses. That's true. On the whole, the Russia usually loses. Because, in this world, he loses. Because since he is overcome by an irrational emotion, so sooner or later, the irrational emotion will catch up with him. Eventually, he's going to make the mistake. He's going to make a mistake.
He's regretting the time that he wasted.
Yeah. No. Situation of the mafia, for instance. So you'll take a look into the situation. You'll find that most of them really wind up in the gutter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually,
most of them.
What? So think of this. Usually, the emotion of greed sways the intellect. A person who's a Russian means he's under the emotion. Now, if the emotion is exacerbated, really to a tremendous degree, then it's going to cause him to make a mistake in thinking along the line somewhere. You see? Now, Russia is the one who's overcome by the emotion. Therefore,
people in power make that mistake.
Yeah, people in power. Right. That's what happened. That's why.
It's true.
They might have a few years. They do have a few years. But then eventually they get shut down. Something happens. These guys, if you look through history, you'll find these guys, usually the real Rishayim, the ones that are really big, I usually make mistakes eventually. Make mistakes because the emotion catches up with them. You see?
Ah. How about the little Rishon?
Say this. I would say that it is not a universal rule. It's not a universal rule. You'll see that some of them escape. You see? Some of them escape. Now, the reason why some escape and some don't escape is dependent upon situation. Now what he was, Tzofer was arguing the universal. He said, universally, you see, usually there you lose. You see? And the examples he gave were real examples. So, you see, it's true. You look at the history, Napoleon, like he says, Hitler, Marshall, all these individuals, eventually, somewhere or other, they got struck down.
All the great leaders, they toppled.
I'm telling you, if you look through... Usually they do find the emotion overpowers the guy. Thing is like this. Eve's argument was like this. It's not a general rule. It's not a universal rule. What he meant was like this, that it is true that the situation might lead to the downfall, but the downfall is not brought about by God. That was his argument. And that's why you see that many escape. You see many escape because different situations. They were fortunate in such situations, so their emotion didn't bring them down. You see? So while on the whole it's true that Russia will fall, it's like Rabbi Moskowitz said that both are true. He's right. They are both true. They're both phenomena are true. Both phenomena are true. It's correct. That's right. But the Tzofer's point was that on the whole you see that there is a system, because on the whole they fall. Whereas Eve's point was, no, the reason why they fall is because of their own undoing, their own situation, but it's not because of God. It's not because of God's justice. And that's why you'll see many of them who are wicked, and they prosper, and they live very happily, because the situation was very fortunate for them, and they make it no problems. It's true that in some the emotion gets out of hand. Yes. The same situation, but they're interpreting it in two different ways. So far as phenomena is correct, that on the whole they fall. On the whole, the real Rishayim fall. So he says, so you see, therefore you see there is a system. But Eve interprets it, no, the reason why they fall is their own undoing. Their own undoing. Yeah, but there are many cases in which they're fortunate and they exist and they make it. They're rich and they live happily and they have children and they have a family and everything. Nothing wrong. Yes. It's good. He's mentioning a good point. He mentioned before they went through the Tzadik V'Tovlo. And now they're going through the side of Russia Varello. Because Sofa felt if he could show a system even from Russia Varello, so you see there's a system. Then the point is Sadek Vitovlo, I don't understand it, but he wanted to demonstrate that there is some system. See? If I could show you some, even if I could show you the obverse, I'll show you the other side of the coin. So I'll show you some, you see that there is something going on here, right? Then he advanced him and says it's not true. He says the only thing you're showing me is situation. But you're not showing me a real system, because I'll show you plenty of Rishayim that have it good. Therefore you see that it's not God's hand. So, of course, the guy's situation, not been usually, actions. Yeah, their own actions will bring down their own destruction. It's a natural cause and effect. But I'll show you cases where they were lucky and they escaped it. That's what I think, the two arguments are. Machlekes in Eos Chaverim, which one in specific was it? It was... Tzofa said, Tzofa pointed out to Eve the fact that the
all the tzaddikim get it good and the Rishon get it bad.
But the Rishon, you always see the downfall of the Russia. You didn't mention about tzaddik having good. You mentioned about downfall of the Russia.
Oh, well.
So you look through the lives of Rishon, you'll see the downfall. Study the lives of Caesar and Napoleon. Hitler, Machshemai, Mussolini. You study the Rishayim, the lives of the Rishayim, you'll see the downfall. That's what the Tzofar said. So Eve answered him. He said no. He said it's not true. He said, so he said, Eve said no. He said on the contrary. He says the Russia has a good life. He gives a beautiful description of the Russia's life. He has money, he has security, his family is healthy, his kids, he enjoys his kids, his wife, his family loves him, and he has a great life. He dies an old man. So we asked, what kind of machlekes is machlekes mitzias? So he said the pshat is like this, that the truth of the matter is, if you look into the lives of the Rishayim, the Rishayim, you'll see their downfall. However, what Eve said was like this. Eve said the reason why you see that they have their downfall is not because of God, but it's because of the fact that their own actions lead to their downfall. It's their own actions that their own evil leads to their downfall. However, many times it doesn't work out that way, and many times a Russian can live a successful and happy life. So therefore, you cannot prove to me, you cannot tell me that there is justice in terms of God exerting or establishing a system of justice in this world. Because I'll show you Rishayim that do live good lives. Now, the only reason the Rishayim that you show them live bad lives is because their own emotions, their own greed, their own foolishness led to their downfall. But not because there really is an inherent system in society, God's system of justice, which cuts these people down. You see? Moreover, one more thing I would say also, that the... Yes? in general, you might say that there are certain things which will cause downfall, but there are certain particulars that can come along and save the guy too. Yeah, there are a lot of accidental effects. The person could be a Rosh Hagama, and the person could be a Rosh Hagama, and he was saved by an accidental effect. Everything doesn't work exactly according to the way a person goes into business. An intelligent man, he opens up a business, he does it intelligently, and he fails. You'll tell me, how did he fail? Other factors that are uncontrollable. And a foolish person makes a foolish investment, you see, and he becomes wealthy. Happens all the time, happens every day. Why? Because there are factors chance, which you can't, chance factors which you can't control. That's what Eve said. Eve said if there was really a law, an actual law in nature, which was implanted by God, that the Russia will fail, that would be one thing. All Rishayim would fail.
We don't see that.
But that we don't see. We see many Rishayim get away with it and live good lives. So it's true, the Rishayim on the whole who fail, we can ascribe that to natural causes.
Not God.
But you cannot ascribe it to God's system of justice, because otherwise every Rush would fail. We see plenty of Rishayim that get away with it. They're lucky, fortunate, fortuitous events occur, and they're saved. You see? That was Eve's argument. That was Eve's argument. Yes. You know, I want to show you further how I think that the Psukim support and substantiate this pshat that we're saying. I mean, because it's nice to say pshatim, but the question is that what the psukim say? Now you have to have a raya from the psukim to demonstrate, to show you that that's the pshat. I think the succeeding psukim, I believe, justify this pshat. We're in Perek Chof Aleph. 21. Yeah, 21. We're up to... 22. Pasuk 22.
22.
Right. Why can't you answer about that we don't understand God's actions?
Don't understand God's justice. Right. To which Eve responded, Eve broke it down.
Yeah, I understand.
The breakdown was because he said that you cannot expect it. And if you show me that there's a system, then I have to accept the system. But if you cannot show me any system at all, he's just telling me there's a system and you have no basis to assume it. It's like a person saying, you should believe in ghosts. What basis do we have to assume there's such a thing? Now you're telling me God has his own system, but we don't see any system. Where's this system? So by virtue of what am I supposed to accept this? That was Eve's argument. It's a good argument, huh? You can always hide behind these questions. And on the contrary, every question is brought out. The answers are not so simple. That's the only thing. This part is... It's a hard pasuk, but I'll tell you what the Mefarshim say. Hala'el yalamed da'as v'hu ramim yishbait. Can you teach God knowledge, and he's the one that judges, and he judges the people who are mighty, who are high? The way they have an Eslan, the other Mefarshim is like this. What does it mean, can you teach God knowledge? So the Evan Ezra says like this. Ki'ilu la'yeda ma'kayim ma'yaseh. In other words, you could justify, you could vindicate an individual who is unjust because you say he doesn't have all the facts, he didn't know. But with God, you can't say that. So therefore, you must say that God has all the facts, right? And in spite of that fact, that he knows everything, he still, v'hu ramim yishbot, and he judges those, ramim means the good people. And he still judges, which means that he still punishes the righteous. That's Eve's argument. Okay, that's the way the Evan Ezra learns. All right. In other words, God by saying like he could by a person that he doesn't know the facts, because he knows everything, and still we see that he punishes the righteous. You see, so how could we how could you explain such a phenomena? That's what Eve Stein is. Lishnachrin Rashi's first pshat gives two pshat. The first pshat is Hayesh Echad Mikem Asher Hu Tachas Okel Shelamei Das Mayamid Azos. He means, is there anyone here that can understand, that is like God, that can explain to me explain to me this phenomena? The second pshat Rashi says Halokel Yelamei Das Klemah Hanid Sarach Lelamei Das Lishbait Emes Hu Atzmai Yedei Ashekain. Aval hu yishpait dinim ramim begovhoi uvegodloi veina chosh ledaktek. So he says, interesting pshat. Aval hu yishpait dinim ramim begovhoi uvegodloi veina chosh ledaktek. Ze shamati, he says, v'loi arishin. Rashi says, the second pshat he heard, not the first one. So he seems he likes the second pshat better.
Second pshat is interesting. Second pshat is that v'hu halakel yilam edos v'hu yiramim yishpay, which seems to be what he's saying is that the he knows how to judge righteously, but he's involved in greater v'hu he's involved v'hu yishpay dinim ramim begavay begadlay ve'nachash ledakte. He's involved in higher spheres, but he doesn't care about the lower ones. God doesn't take the time to be medaktik in the particulars of human beings. That's the that's wonderful. That was one of the philosophies. That the one of the ancient philosophies is that God does not care about particulars. God doesn't care about particulars. Who running Yishpay? He's in a high level. He deals with universals, but he doesn't deal with particulars. That's the philosophy. That's the way they learn. Yes. Question. He's saying, why is it that Eve is saying over here that he doesn't understand the God's justice, so therefore he doesn't accept it. But certainly there are a lot of things that we don't understand about God's knowledge, right? But we still don't say we don't accept it. We don't understand God's physics either, but we accept it, right? What do you say in answer to that? He was asking, Ramasus, he was asking that why don't we say that there really is a just system going on, but we don't understand it. It's a little bit different. He's saying that why is Eve perturbed about this area that doesn't understand of knowledge, when there are many areas of knowledge that doesn't understand. Why is this area, why is he denying it because he doesn't understand it? It's because there's a difference between a person not understanding something, not being able to fathom it completely, that's true. But it's something else when you tell me something that's contradictory. That's absolutely contradictory. In other words, you're telling me there's a system of justice that I should live by. And I see that system of justice doesn't work. It's exactly the opposite. And that's a contradiction already. So obviously, I have to say that. I have to say that it's wrong. Well, in physics, I don't understand the physics. I'm sorry. I don't understand physics. But I don't see a contradiction. Yeah, I don't see one thing falling down, another thing going up. I mean, the system that's working here. So I have to work harder to understand it. But Eve's kasha was, it's impossible. You're telling me something which is not true, which is completely impossible. You're telling me that this exists, and I see it doesn't exist. That a person would be a fool to accept. And if a person just accepts it, he is a fool. Because based on what? He sees with his own eyes. It's not true. So he has to deny. He has to deny what he sees. If he denies what he sees, so then he denies everything. He denies his knowledge. Denies everything. That's it. The philosophy of the fact that God doesn't deal with particulars, and the Rambam also interprets this perek as meaning that. The Rambam also interprets, and the Marne Vuchim interprets that way. Same way as Rashi, second shot in Rashi, that Eve was saying here was really espousing Aristotle's philosophy. Aristotle's philosophy is that there is no hashgacha. Pratius. Hashgacha klalis, he accepted. Did that a person have to be fooled or denied? Hashgacha klalis, he accepted. But hashgacha pratius, he didn't accept. You see? He didn't accept that. It means like this. Kleimar, ha'ani tzorech lelamdei das lishbait emes, hu atzma yedei ha'shekein tzorech. Halakel yilam edas, zehei ha'shela. So do I have to teach him how to judge? He knows very well how to judge, but he doesn't care to do it. See, that's what I mean. It's a rhetorical question. Do I have to teach God how to judge? In other words, you can't say, he knows how, right? So we can't say that he's lacking some ability in bringing forth what he wants to. He knows. Huh. So what's the pshat? Why doesn't he do it? Because he doesn't care. He's involved. Who ram yishpay? He's involved in higher spheres. But he's not involved in the everyday particulars. Really, the truth of the matter, as I mentioned before, in this in the Eve, That's what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech's kasha was Ma enesh kisiski reno ven adam kisif kidano. Because David HaMelech himself can understand. It's a difficult thing to understand how God should be involved with particulars. And we mentioned at that time that if a person does understand that, it's something wrong with his ego. It's not, you know what I mean? That on the contrary, if a person doesn't think it's a kasha why God remembers man, then there's something wrong with his ego. Because on the contrary, according to all the natural understanding of the subject, a person should be a kasha. Of course, it's true that God does, but if it's not a kasha, there's something wrong with the individual. He's a self-centered individual. Yes. Yomus, now he goes on. It's like this. Ze yomus be'etzem tumoi kuloi shalanan v'sholei. Atinav Maluchalov Umayach Atzmaisov Yeshuka. Alright? He says one person dies in the midst of his strength, completely quiet, everything completely peaceful and quiet. You read the translation, Atinav Malay.
His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moistened.
Vizei Yamos. It says one person dies. He's talking about over. It doesn't matter who it is, both Rishayim, both Tzadikim. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter who it is. One person dies. He has everything that he needs, a peaceful life, and everything. He dies. And another person, Vizei Yamos Ben Nefesh Mor of Aloya Chabatev. Another person dies bitter and empty, and never had a day. Never lived a day in his life.
What's name?
Afar Yishkavu. They both lie down on the dust and they sleep. Beid shlofen in their head. Verimat chas aleihem. Verimat chas aleihem. So he says, what does he mean, Eve? What does he mean? What's made the dust? What
is they both have the same end.
Yeah, but why does he insist on carrying through to post-mortem? They both lie down on the dust and sleep, he says. And verimat chas aleihem. And the worms cover them. What? He shows you that there is no difference whatsoever. You see, so far we're saying that there is a system, right? And he shows, a person keeps looking for justice. And he looks for justice even post-mortem. He'll say, well, look, this person, other people remember, was a great man. Look how nice. Something, there should be some difference between the Russian and Tzaddik. There's no difference. Not in his lifetime and not one fraction after his death. They both lie down on the ground and the worms eat them both and there's nothing remains. I remember as a youngster, they used to say in the yeshiva, they used to tell all the stories about different people that the worms didn't
eat them.
The worms didn't eat them, going, see? Right. Well, I don't know, it's true or not, basically.
But the... my issue was the Villagon.
Say that. Why do people say that, though? Why do people make up these stories? The reason why they say that is because of the same emotion that Eve is trying to counter. The emotion is that, all right, during guy's lifetime he suffered, but look, I mean, the worms didn't eat him up. Even as if that's a matzah star for a person. You know, your guy's not there anymore, but his body isn't eaten up. Big deal.
That really
but
cares.
The, you freeze him and put him in a freezer, his body won't be eaten up either. How much will it help him? But the point is, a person looks for some type of compensation, something. So the emotions go in those areas. And those stories are invented to satisfy those emotions. You know what I mean? Okay. All right. That's what he says. That's why Eve takes care of that one. Verimot achas alayam. He says, now he says like this. Now here I don't really know why he brings us in here. Maybe we can work it out. I don't really understand why he brings us in right here. He says, Hen yadati machshevo seichem umezimo salai tachmosu. Okay, stop. He said, yes. He says, I know what you think, he said. Now watch how he follows it through. Beautiful. He says, why don't you ask the people, the travelers? Travelers, people who've been around the world, seen things, seen different phenomena. He says, and what they say, you shouldn't make strange to you. You should accept it, in other words. And he says, yes. Vososa means os means a demonstration. The demonstrations you shouldn't make strange. In other words, you should accept it. Ki l'yom eid yechosech ro, l'yom avaros yuvol. Okay, he says like this. What's that? Ki l'yom eid. The mitzvah is good shot of here. He says like this. He says, v'nehem sipru asher le'eis bo eid ba'olam. They will tell you. These people, these travelers, will tell you. That le'eis bo eid ba'olam, when an evil occurrence comes to the world, a catastrophe comes to the world. You know, today they're always concerned with the catastrophes, inferno, and the different cataclysmic peoples, earthquakes. You know, all these different things. Ah, something like that. He says, ki le'eis bo eid ba'olam hinei harasha v'ra yachsoch mimeno v'lo olaf tiyeh. He'll be protected. The rasha somehow will escape. He says, ask the people. Over there means people who've been around, have seen enough facts in their life. They didn't stay in one little town all their life, but they traveled around, they saw and find out, and you'll see. That's right, and you'll see many times a catastrophe and a rush is saved. You see, okay?
That's
true. That's true.
Yeah. It was the couple.
The guys didn't make it.
That's true. So he says, but he's saying even more. See, over there they attribute it to natural cause, because they say that the people who were Bali Midos in the concentration camps, they couldn't take anything from anybody else, so they let themselves die. But the ones who were aggressive lived. So you say, all right, that's a natural phenomenon. You could relate it to his aggression. But he's saying even more. He's saying even more. He's saying, but you see a cataclysmic upheaval. Isn't that a hand of God? An earthquake? And you'll see some Rishayim escape miraculously. See, and it's an interesting thing. An interesting thing. That's why I would say this. That the really there's two... Hold on a second. Size always. I really think there was two things that Eve was telling them about what we started last week with why the Russia escapes. First of all, the Russia escapes, he says, you see that there is a Russia escapes, number one. But secondly, the stories you tell me about the downfall of the Russia is something else. It's an exaggeration of something that you're looking for. You know what I mean? You're always looking for that. So therefore you interpret it that way. You know what I mean? In other words, like this. How many stories do you always hear about tzaddikim that escape? Right? Miraculously, a tzaddik escape. Yeah, but this happens to Rishayim too. That's what he says. This happens to Rishayim too. So to say that this should be the cornerstone of your emunah, because you see that a case where a tzaddik escaped through some nais, that's not something to build your emunah on. Because I'll show you cases where Rishayim escaped too. See? That's his argument. As I tell you, every argument is here. Good arguments, though. Alright? Kiliyomei de chasach ra. That's what Mitzvah David says. He says, V'neim sipra shaleis bo'ed bo'olam inei rasha v'ra yachsach mimena. V'lo olav tiyeh. What happened to him? Liyom avoris yuvolu. Musav al yechasach ra. Lomar. Shara nechsach leis ashe yevo avoris ukasim. Says the Ra, the Ra shall be protected on the day when the Evros, Evra means anger, so to speak, God's anger. It's a metaphor. Like it means an earthquake or some of people. The Kefal Adova, Ma Shoma, Okoimar, Halo Bavurze, Yam Atzlevavo, Velo Yechas, Velo Yefached. Because of this, the Ra shall get stronger, and you won't be afraid of anything. Veima Menagdim Ledivrechem, Velo Somrum, and these things are opposite of what you're saying. The low summer, of course, you won't say that. So he says, that's how it follows through. And now I see the way it follows through. First he starts off with himself. He says, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, yeah, this guy can't take this guy's evidence. This guy's not a tzaddik. He's in Russia. He says, ask the Ivory Derech. Ivory Derech. They've seen these cases. They've seen cases where earthquakes come about and the tzaddik dies and the Russia escapes. He says, that's why miyaget alponov darko vu also miyishalom lo. Okay. He says like this: ubaavur rov hatzlochoso miyin ken yuchad lahagid darko lafonov v'lo hochicho lapkido min onesh kelo lemod yilag lomo. Beautiful way to express it. He says miyaget alponov. Who's going to tell the Russia his way? Who can go and criticize the Russia? Give him mussar. Why can't you? He says, "Bavur rov hatzlachaso." It means success. Speaks for itself. Miyim ken yuchad lahagid darko lefanav v'lochicho lafchido. Who can frighten the Russia? Yimina onesh. Hello limod yilag lamai. He'll laugh at you. Why? Because he sees a success. Can anybody really go to a Russia successful man? Suf kol suf, people are impressed. Most of all, the greatest thing that moves an individual, moves a person, success in any field, in any area that he's in. That emotion is the most. One of the most potent emotions. People will always show different rayas from different areas, different sects. They'll say, look, he was matzliach. So he was matzliach. That means that it's right, but I'll show you to show him matzliach also. But hatzlocha sof kol sof still remains to be a very... I mean, I even know within the framework of Yahadus, people will use this as a... from people will use this as a raya. Well, you see, he was matzliach, so it must be Davish to also. Really? Well, let's take a look at the Rishayim of matzliach. I mean, they are matzliach more than the tzaddikim. Look at the lahavdil at Christianity. They didn't have a nebuchadnezzar hatzlocha. Hatzlocha is a tremendous. What?
They got a lot of things.
Hatzlocha, they got the people. The hatzlocha is a powerful, potent force. is an potent emotion of man. And man was matzliach. Why is it so? Because in hatzlacha somehow or other, a person thinks he found some reality there. See, reality seems to be conforming to what he wants. And that gives him that sanctions what he's doing, and sort of, it's like the hand of God is on him, telling him what he's doing is good. Because it's somehow or other, it finds its way into reality. Reality is sort of accepting what is his design. See? That's the way it seems to him. Fate is accepting his design, like God is saying, yes, you're right. See? That's emotion. That's a very powerful emotion. It's a powerful emotion. Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha is a powerful emotion in man. Of course, it is wrong, because hatzlacha is no barometer whatsoever of emes. The truth of the matter is, you see certain tzaddikim more matzliach at all. Hatzlacha is and then certain rishoyim, I mean, that you know are matzliach. So that certainly is not a barometer. But,
what's the barometer when checks the Shem
Shabbat? Oh, yeah.
Given that chazal, the Shem Shabbat, well, must be something happened to me now because I did something more recently, but otherwise, till now, everything was fine. And the other guy, nothing happened to him.
Yeah, well, the thing is like this, that if nothing happens to a person...
It's a message, right? We're telling you something.
Right.
Because there's something you have to look for. The other guy...
It doesn't necessarily... The thing is like this. What the Gemara is saying is that if a person... If Yisurim happened to a person... So certainly Yifashvesh B'maisa, right? It does not mean the opposite. That if a person doesn't have any Yisurim, that's lo Yifashvesh B'maisa. Or it's a sign that he's successful. Not by any means. Because there are many reasons why the person could be matzliach. As you know, the Gemara tradition says that the Rosh is matzliach in order to tardei min ha'olam. Right? I mean, it indicates something wrong. Because a person who'd be living on the highest possible level, you see, wouldn't have any Yisurim. Because he'd be on the highest level, Hashgacha would be with him completely. That's correct. But if he doesn't have Yisurim, it doesn't mean the opposite is not true. The converse is not true. Yisurim means Yifashvesh B'maisa. But not Yisurim doesn't mean that he's living properly. By no means. He could be the worst Rosh and be successful. There's no steer. No steer. What? Yeah, it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Because to say that Yisurim means that there's something wrong does not mean to say that if there are no Yisurim that everything's right. No. Because a person cannot be living the highest form of life and have Yisurim, because the Gemara holds in Yisurim b'lechet, it's a machlaikis, and Yisurim b'lechet. So if you say Yisurim b'lechet, then there must be something wrong. But that doesn't necessarily mean that ain shalva imrishis. That doesn't mean that way. Because no, because he can have peace. It's possible. Okay, you can have hatzlach. I shouldn't say shalva. Shalva is a big word. But anyways, hatzlach. Okay. Now, that's what it says. Miyaget al panav darkai. That was the Yiv's taina. But four words mean can you hagat darkai lefanav lechichal afchirei mina oinish ki hu lemoid yilag lamai. Lamai, the man will laugh at you if you're going to tell him musar. Hey, guy, successful man. What do you mean? His success is going his way. He's following his whims. Unbelievable thing. That's what success really has, that powerful force. Success is a powerful force. Because it gives the person the illusion that reality is conforming, is accepting his way of life. An interesting emotion. Okay. And conversely also, by the way, that if a person fails, there's the opposite emotion. If a person fails, there's you see? He says there's something's going wrong here. He thinks, now he gets the feeling that there's something going wrong and that reality is against him, or that God is against him. Now I say like this, when the Chazal say, be careful to distinguish between that emotion and between what Chazal mean by Yifashvesh B'maisa. If a person just has that superstitious emotion that because things are going bad that there's something wrong, you see, that is a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. Because if that's the case, so then you first let me fashkesh myself and the whole thing, and he still sees things are wrong, so he can start assuming that his whole way of life is wrong. You know what I mean? This is no barometer. We see tzaddikim that had the tremendous yisurim. They never doubted. Their Rabbi Yechonin lost 10 sons. What could be a bigger more yisurim than that? You know what I mean? So you can tell me that Rabbi Yechonin doubted that his derech hachaim was wrong? Never had any doubt about that. You see? Because that's just a superstitious emotion that a person has. A person will say, hey, I'm going in the wrong direction. Look what's happening. Yeah, fashish myself. But those things which he knows are correct, he has to operate in terms of irrationally. You know what I mean? If he gives into a superstitious feeling that because things are going wrong, that means everything he's doing is wrong, that's a very dangerous thing. He's liable to negate reason and negate what he knows to be correct. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that... See, that's why I say if it's from that emotion of atzlacha, if it's from the emotion, the primitive emotion of atzlacha, then it's a dangerous thing. Yefashish b'maisav is not a primitive emotion of atzlacha. Yefashish b'maisav, on the contrary. It's not because, hey, God's getting after me. It's because that's the way, that is the rational way that a person should react. He sees Yisurim, but he still has to know simultaneously that he doesn't know, he doesn't know the whole system, Rosh Hashanah is a God, and he has to follow what rationally is correct. See? But not to become emotionally uprooted. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's correct. But it's true, it is true, you're right. But the only thing is that a person cannot go about, a person has to be rational within that framework. What should be rational within that framework? He has to fashresh myself, and he has to see what he could do, and whatever he could do to correct, he has to correct, but then he still, then that's it. I mean, beyond that, there's nothing he could do. He can't start undoing that which he knows is correct. You know what I'm saying? See? The rest he doesn't know. That's exactly right. Now you see, the primitive emotion, if it's just a primitive emotion, he's liable to do that. If it's just a primitive emotion, the person will say, hey, maybe I'm looking the wrong way. Maybe my Derech Chaim is wrong. I have to change now. See, that is not that's just a primitive emotion. You know what I'm saying? That's the emotion that Hatzlacha and success and failure is reality is going to, whatever happens in terms of success and failure is the way reality is. Reality is telling you something over here. That is a dangerous thing. Fashish myself, right? All right. Fashish myself. That's the right thing to do. Fashish myself. But not in the primitive sense. The person doesn't know. I mean, the Dalei Olam that had tremendous Yisurim. Rabbi Yechon himself, again, Rabbi Yechon went crazy in the end of his life with Rish Lakish. So it wasn't me. Rabbi Yechon wasn't a tzaddik. Rabbi Yechon didn't live a correct life. He didn't read Derech Chaim. Chas v'shalom. Not true. He did. But the thing is that a lot of the things we don't understand. Chas v'shalom. Fashish ma'asav, yes, right? Fashish ma'asav means that's the rational action to do at the time. That's it. But in no way does it mean that a person starts changing everything he has just because of, the success is not coming my way, so that means whatever I'm doing is wrong. That's just the primitive emotion. See?
For the same
reason that in the time of Shlomo, because they were doing it because of the success of the Jews. Exactly right. That's right. That's very good. It's 100% a beautiful riot. You see, that was the emotion that you see. They saw the reality, and also by the Megillah, Rabbi Amaris Mesiadim, Kinafa Pacha Yidim Alem. So that's... That is not the real reason that a person should do anything. That's a primitive reason. A person must do something because he knows that it's right. But not like by the time of Shlomo, like Rabbi Moskowitz mentions, that over there they did it because of the success of the Jew. Oh, now we see this is the real religion. This is the true religion. That's not the right of the true religion. It has nothing to do with it. That's what I say when our Baron Kotler Zatzal died, so they took his Aron to Eretz Yisrael. And they have a Kabbalah there that if you put a wet towel when there's no rain, you put a wet towel on the Aron of a Tzaddik, so then so it rains. So they did it, and it started to rain. So they told Rav Moshe that. So Rav Moshe said, he got upset. He says, that's not the reason that we know he's a Tzaddik. That's it. And that's the type of emotion. That's the same type of emotion. The emotion is that we see that the success of, I mean, that's not the way, that's not a Derech HaChaim, that's not the way Yadus knows whether a person is doing, this is superstition, it's utter superstition. That emotion is not a good emotion to carry. On the contrary, an emotion like that is a devastating emotion, and that was the emotion that Yiv was uprooting right over here. You see, Rosh HaGomor, the man was saved miraculously from death. I mean, hit Liyamach Shemai, they planted a bomb in his office right in front of his face and he walked away. So I say that means that such a thing like that is a riot at the man. That's what Eve was. That's what Eve was saying. Okay. Tell him lie. Vim ki hu oises a roa shechoshev lasos ein mishe yishalom legmo. That's what he says. And even though he does the evil, there's no one to pay him back. That was his argument. Vuhu lamed beis. Vuhu likvaros yuval va'al godish yishkod. Here again he says. He says the Russia will be placed in a nice grave, nice on the Gurdish, high up, you know.
Beautiful,
people, beautiful view, and people walk by a beautiful stone, and they'll say, what a wonderful man lived here. And all the rishis they did in his lifetime is buried, and the man will walk away with all the praise. That's what he says. They see, people always cling to the fact that at least they'll say that the guy will be, tzaddik will have a memory, memory will be for good, rasha will be for bad. Not true, he says. He says, it's not true. Many rishonim get away with it, they're praised, they're honored. FDR was a rasha marusha, the man was a mushchas, a retzeach, and still he went down in history as one of the greatest presidents in this country ever had, and that's the way history is, and it doesn't mean a thing. That's it. Zeicher tzaddik levracha v'shem Yerushalayim yirakev. So the pasuk says the opposite. That it's tata sasha tim mishlei and Eiv, right? Yeah. Well, Shlomo Elton didn't write Eiv, so it's not there. The answer is, you see, well, there's two types of, when he says Russia over here, there's two types of, when Russia in Mishlei means a person who acts unjustly towards others, you see, with others, I should say, with others and towards others. So during his lifetime, those who are his buddies, his cronies, will praise what he's doing, because their emotions are caught up in what he's doing. They're gaining from him. Right? See? Al Capone and his buddies, say, oh no, they'll say he's a just man too. They'll say he's doing the right thing. Justified, 100%. See? So, during the lifetime of the man, they'll justify what he's doing, you see, his principles, because of their own emotions. But when he dies, like I said last time, Shemer Shem Yerukev, after he dies, so those who review his actions will see that he was a Russia, because they're not emotionally involved. They don't gain from him. So therefore they can see truthfully. And the opposite with the Tzaddik. That's Zeicher Tzaddik Levracha. They hate the Tzaddik during his lifetime, because he breaks down the other people's emotions. It's painful. But after he's dead and he stopped bothering anybody, everybody, so then they say he was a great man. You see? But over here, the Russia means the man who is very wise, not a person who outwardly espouses evil, but the person who covers up his evil, who is underneath, he's a Russia, but he covers it up. You see, this man gets away with it. Now, if you tell me there's a system of justice, then a man like that shouldn't be able to get away with it. And if he does, then there's no system. That's what he says. And he enhances it. Muskuloi rigve nochal. Vacharov kol adam yimshech. Lefonavein mispar. He says like this. Muskuloi rigve nochal. He says, what does that guy read?
The clods of the valley are sweet unto him.
It's sweet, the clods of the valley, where
what
he's lying over there.
The idiot.
The man will have a sweet grave in the best, choicest plot. It brings out every little emotion. Beautiful. Okay. How can you comfort me with nonsense, with emptiness, empty words? How do you translate Shuvasechem Nishamal?
And as for your answers, they remain only faithlessness.
Yeah, mal means that they're like as if the answer is turned away from the person. Like it's looking at the answer like an individual, a faithless answer. Yeah, mal, yeah. That was his argument. Powerful arguments, my friend.
Can't put one past the other.
Huh?
Put one past
the other. He talks the truth.
Next up at bat, Eliphaz.
Interesting thing, huh? Amazing? Every time is here. I haven't really worked this out. He starts off like this. He says, the first argument he gives is like this. Does God gain anything from your righteousness?
No. Not
that's what Eliphaz... that's what Eliphaz...
good point.
Yeah. That's what Eliphaz says. Yeah. Not like Heschel, by the way. He thinks that God gains something from... anything from man's righteousness. So what? So what is he saying this to Eve for? Fine. What's Pasuk Dalet? Pasuk Dalet says what?
Pasuk Dalet. Is it for thy fear of him that he reproveth? It is for thy fear of him that he reproveth thee, that he entereth with thee unto judgment.
Is God afraid of you? Could you say that God is afraid of you and that's why he comes to judge you? So what does he mean? What kind of argument is this? What kind of argument is this? Isn't your wickedness great? There's no end to your sins? Good.
For thou hast taken pledges.
I read it slowly loud. You see the whole gist of the argument there.
For thou hast taken pledges of thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing.
Right.
Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. And as a mighty man who hath the earth, and as a man of rank who dwelleth in it, thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden dread affrighted thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the topmost of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, what doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Wilt thou keep the old way which wicked men have trodden, who were snatched away before the time, whose foundation was poured out as a stream, who said unto God, depart from us? And what could the Almighty do unto them? Yet he filled their house with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous sword and were glad, and the innocent left them to scorn.
Okay.
Surely their substance is cut off, and their abundance is...
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I just want to ask you, before we go into this argument, I just want to mention from the... what I started to say, before we get there, what I wanted to say was, I think that the last part of the last... Let's go back to the last paragraph just for a second. The last part of the last paragraph justifies the shot we gave last time, right? That what Eve was saying was that the... That you see that Russia escapes. Because of the Ovrei Derech, the case of the Ovrei Derech, right? I just want to emphasize that. Okay. Now here, Eliphaz gives an argument. What is Eliphaz's argument? He says, like, he says, does God gain anything out of what you are doing? Out of your tzidkis? So what? And then he says, therefore you must be a total Russia, and whatever you're doing is, you didn't give the poor, you didn't give the almanis, alright, all these things. I mean, first of all, we have to understand, how can you tell him a thing like that? If he says it's an open lie, right? I mean, he says that he did help the poor. I said before, right? That's one. And secondly, what does it have to do with the fact that he says that God doesn't gain anything from your tzidkis?
That's a good question.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, they said,
what does it have to do with it?
Well, they said to him, they said, you will...
From your tzidkis.
What does Pasuk Daled mean?
God afraid of you, that's why he's being mochichu. He's afraid that you're not going to be righteous, so therefore he has mochichu.
Is it the fear of God?
Yeah, it says here.
That's what I have. Is it because he's afraid of you?
It doesn't say it here.
What does
it say? It's a little different. It says.
So, the other way. Mitzvah says. Is it because he's afraid of you? I mean, that makes sense to me. Mitzvah falls straight through. That is it because God's afraid that you're going to do rishis, going to harm him? That's why he's being machiach you? Makes more sense that way.
Oh, yeah,
how does he say?
Because if he benefits from when you do good, then...
Same thing Rashi says. In the year Rashi, yori miponecha. I don't know whose pshat they take, but it's not these pshat.
So what's pshat?
That's the wrong pshat.
What is pshat?
No, the pshat is followed straight through. He says, do you think that God gains anything when you do mitzvahs, when you're a tzaddik? Or do you think that God's afraid you're going to do rishis and you're going to harm him, and that's why he has to go and be machiach you?
Oh, I get it.
You know what I mean? It's two sides of the coin, same argument.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you say, Levy? You want to say? Bernie, go ahead. Yes, he says, will you say that a man can help God by his actions, by being righteous? Right? He says, "Achefetz l'shakai ki sitzdak." Is there any desire for God that you should become a tzaddik? V'embetzak kisateim derechecha. Is he going to gain anything if your ways are perfect? You see, I mean, that's what his argument is—a simple one that's accepted. The Ramban says it, and everybody, all philosophers, Lesman, the Pollock, Bali Kabbalah, philosophers, all accept this Ramban and all of them. And when a person does mitzvahs, he doesn't help God. God doesn't need his mitzvahs. Okay. So that's what he's for. Well, the arguments before was really twofold. You see, I'm not necessarily sure. I don't want to mislead you. I don't want you to think that necessarily he has to answer to every one of the arguments. But the argument was, what he said was, that you see that, he says, I was a tzaddik, right? And you see that I was cut down, and that was the thing. Halakel yilam ados, v'hu ram yishpa. You see that he judges the righteous, you see? And then he goes on to say that there's no ashgacha. There's no ashgacha. He denies the ashgacha. You see? But what is Eliphaz trying to get them? He's trying to get something. See, this whole conversation, this whole debate between these two, well, there's actually four people, is in terms of they're trying to find the reality. Now there's one thing, they were chachomim, so they knew one thing. They knew there's one thing that can distort the reality. Namely, what is it? The personal emotions. See? Now what Eliphaz told them was like this. Eliphaz said one thing. He says, you can't see the truth. He says, the truth of the matter is that you really were a Rasha. And he goes through a whole list of Rashayim, things that he did. But he says, but why can't you see it? He says, why can't you see it? There's two reasons why you can't see it. First of all, you didn't do outright rishus. That we said last time, Eliphaz said. You didn't do outright rishus. What you did was... yeah. It was rishus. It wasn't, you didn't go kill anybody. But the pshat is, in your situation, you could have done more. You should have done more. You see? So, that's why he says, he mentions when he criticizes him, he says like this. He says, V'ish zeruah lo ha'aretz v'nesufanim yeshiv ba. He says, you are a powerful man. A powerful man overlooks things. A powerful man might overlook, like Chazal say, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, what was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, was an Anish? Because an almana came to him, she had to wait for a few minutes. He was too busy or something. So he made an almana wait. So that's why he was nenash. See, a big person is advised different as different as Shainas. So they told him, they said, you were a powerful man in the community, respected in the community, a powerful leader. So of course you were involved in busy things, but you forgot because of that, because of your position. You forgot the poor person. So you lost your grip on reality for a moment, you see? And that's why an almana came and you didn't look at her. That's why the poor man came to the door and you didn't help him. Because you're too involved in what you thought at the time. You're overcome with the idea that these are the big things. You forgot what the really big things were. Because of your position. The sufanim. Because that emotion of the sufanim overpowered you. Respected man. You want to maintain your prestige. But that's why, that's how he explains the chait. But what was his argument? He says, does God gain anything? His argument was like this. You see, you are corrupted by one emotion. That's why you can't see the truth. What is the emotion? You felt that by doing your tzitkis, you're helping God. And that's why you're reacting this way. See, the moment the thing you feel, you were building up in your mind a big debt all along for God. God has to pay back. I'm a tzaddik, and I'm doing this right, and I'm doing that right, and God's going to pay me for this, and I'm going to pay me for that. See? Now you built up this tremendous debt, and of course, the moment something happened that was untoward, you couldn't accept this. The reason why you couldn't accept this was because you weren't functioning initially in the proper frame of mind. Of course, you were functioning that God, you're helping God out. Now, therefore, of course, how much does he owe you? Tremendous. Helping him all along, right?
What does it have to do with God?
Because he's afraid you're going to do rishis, you're going to harm him. No. Just as God can punish him. Because it's for his benefit. If it's a matter of... In other words, in the first frame of reference, it is unjust in the first frame of reference for God to punish him for a minor infraction. Because he gained so much and he lost a little. He has no right to do it. But in the second frame of reference, where there's no gain at all, it's just a matter of God punishing an individual in order to improve him. So for the slightest thing, he has a right to do it because he's improving him.
Really?
You understand what I'm saying?
Can't you say...
That's the argument. Right. Eliphaz accused Eeyore. He accused him of operating unconsciously under that premise. And that's why he says you can't face the situation now. Because unconsciously, that was the emotion that was guiding you. The feeling that you're helping God all along. And that's why, emotionally, you can't handle it.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Come on. 23 and Eve.
Then Eliphaz, right? 22?
No, 23. We did Eliphaz, right?
Okay. Answered and said...
Then what?
Yaakov. Answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavy because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat.
I'll tell you, there is a certain format here. Usually he always starts off with his mentioning again the complaints that he has, the suffering that he's going through. That's the way he starts off. And then he gives a personal, argument, and then after the personal argument he supports it by an objective argument. That's the way he goes. Okay? Alright, that's the Seder that he uses. Go ahead.
Oh, that I might know where I might find him. He's referring to God.
Now he's talking about God. He says, yes.
That I might come even to a seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments.
Right.
I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me.
Okay, good.
Would he contend with me in his great power? No, he would give heed to me. There the upright might reason with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward.
Okay.
But he's not there.
Yes, yeah, stop. Up to Pasuk Ches is one thing. See what he says? What is the essence of what he says up to Pasuk Ches? Interesting thing. What does he say? He says, who would allow me that I will know where to find him? I'll go up to his place where he dwells. I'll arrange before him the arguments of justice. He says, I will know everything that he answers me. I'll understand everything he says to me. I know what he's going to answer me. And I understand everything he says to me. What are you trying to say? He says he's not going to argue with me with his strength, which means he's going to listen to me, listen to my arguments. He says over there the righteous will be able to argue with him, we're able to be victorious with him. And I will escape forever from my judge. Okay? That's Pasuk Zayin. Up to Pasuk Zayin. There's one. What is he saying? He's saying one thing, an interesting thing. Of course, as usual, it's cloaked in a the Pesukim are can be read. You read through simply, say he's just saying the same old story again. But if you read through with a little bit of insight, the Pesukim are always dibutar klashim adam. Pesukim are written in a way that if you look into it a little bit, you'll see the real underlying meaning. You know what I mean? What is the underlying meaning that he's saying over here? Something, an interesting thing. What is he saying? No, he's saying he's right.
He's right.
He's saying he's right. He's saying if I argue with God, I would show that I'm right. That's what he's saying. The whole thing is he's saying that he's right. Who will allow me to find him? And I'll go to his place. See? Read Pasuk Daled in English. Go to Pasuk Daled. What does it say?
There the upright might reason with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge.
1 second. I said Pasuk Daled.
Oh, Daled. I'm sorry.
Oh. For him, I fill my mouth with arguments. Against God, he's going to argue. Now, what did he say? Hey, five, next question.
I would know the words which he would answer me.
I would know the words that he would answer me. That
and
means
understand.
I'll understand. Yeah, and understand.
What he would say to me.
What he would say to me. Don't you understand? What is he saying? He's emphasizing here. He's emphasizing one thing. That there is no way that I am wrong.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
All we lack now, the only lack is that God's not motivated to my...
Strongest point of the Pesukim? I would say the strong point is Pasuk Daled, Pasuk Hay, Pasuk Zion. What's Pasuk Zion?
There the upright might reason with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge.
That's right. There the upright will reason with him. Will reason with him. I would say just a second. Just give me a second. Shemarosh, you just fuck up in the ocean with right. Pasuk Yud. Take Pasuk Yud.
Good. For he starts with the middle of the line.
Bechonani kazov, they'd say. He says, if God would try me, I'd come out like gold. There's no way. The whole thing is one, there's one, he's emphasizing one point. There is no way that I could lose. And there's to prove this, there is one statement that's audacious, really. Which statement is, one statement that's audacious. Which statement?
I should be delivered forever from my
No. Judgment. No. There's one statement that really, Pasuk Hay. What does Hay say?
I would know the words which he would answer me.
I know the words that he would answer me. He knows what God is going to say.
And he's even
I know the words that God's going to answer me. He says, "Va'avina mayom." I'll understand everything he's telling me. How could he say that he understands everything? He's going to understand everything that God says. I mean, even a fool doesn't say that. That he could understand everything that God says. I mean, that's really being not only arrogant but foolish. You know what I mean? So what's the pshat? How could a person say that? Even the most impudent individual will not say that I'll understand everything that God says. I mean, that I realize is stupid. I mean, God created the whole. He's only one dot in the universe. You tell me that He understands everything. How could He say He will understand everything that God tells him? Why is only? How does He know that? How can you know there's only one possible way? How could you know there's only one possible way? You don't know. What's the shot? As far as justice is concerned, inherent in justice is that justice has to be relative to the individual whom you're judging. That's inherent in justice. If a judge is going to judge an individual, he has to do so according to that individual's level. He can't judge a small person on the level of a great person. Right? Justice demands that the person that you're judging, you judge according to his level. You understand what I mean? So, in other words, you can't expect a child. You can't judge a little child on the base of an adult. You can't say.
One second.
You can't say that a child should have had the knowledge to know what an adult knows. Right? That's an impossibility. Right? So therefore, the justice has to always be in line with the person's level. There's a justice that you administer to a child, a justice you administer to an adult. Right? Justice must be in line with the individual's knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, what's bothering you? Let me first finish. Therefore, you're saying like this. You're saying that it's impossible over here for God to bring in new facts and new things that I don't know, because I know that I've used every possible ounce of energy to understand the situation and to understand my life. Now, justice has to be in accordance with my knowledge. So he can't supersede my knowledge and bring in a new framework here and show me that I'm wrong. It's an impossibility. Because by definition, justice must be according to the knowledge of each individual. Now, according to my knowledge is the boundary of the... My knowledge itself frames the boundary of knowledge in which this justice has to operate. Now, here, God can't bring anything new in. You see? If you're asking me, if you're talking with God about physics, talking with God about astronomy, about other areas, of course, I can't say... I know what God's going to tell me. That's ridiculous. I'm going to argue with God in the geometry. That's absurd. Because over there, God could bring in new knowledge and he'll show me that he's right. But over here, it's impossible for him to bring in new knowledge into the picture, because by definition, justice means in accordance with the knowledge that I have, right? Now, I have all the facts in terms of my knowledge. I didn't fool myself. I'm honest. In terms of my own knowledge, I have all the facts. All I have to do is be honest and not fool myself, right? Now, I followed that 100%. I was completely honest with myself. I never gave in to any emotion which was contrary to what the truth was, and I followed the knowledge that I have as much as I could. Now, what could God bring into the picture? Anything new which will overshadow this? It's an impossibility, because there is no room over here to open up any new areas of knowledge. It has to be within this framework. Now, within this framework, I know that I'm right. That's what he says. He knows what God's going to tell him. It's impossible in this situation, since this is a situation of ethics. The ethical situation itself delineates its own boundaries of knowledge, and you can't possibly say that it's dependent upon external knowledge, because that's not fair. Do you understand what I mean?
That's
an emotion that he didn't detect. So he said that's an impossibility, because he can only demand of me that I deal in as much as I can with the with my emotions.
But beyond, you can never be judged for anything.
No, you can't. You can't. No, that's not true. Because the person recognized that it isn't. Didn't. The person will say, well, you're right, you know, I really gave into that emotion. But if I can't recognize, then that's not just. Then you're demanding of me to do something which is impossible for me to recognize. That I can't. That's impossible. That's not fair again. That's unjust again. That was one of the arguments I've given before. There is no way out of this. That's what he says. There is no possible way that that you can do it. Much as humanly possible, there is nothing more that can be done. Now, isn't there? Now, there must be. Now, there has to be a rational limit of human possibility. There has to be a limit. Now, he went to the limit. The man was ish. That's what it means. You can't say I could always go a little more. That's nonsense. What? You have one of two possibilities. Either a person can know his limit or he can't know his limit. If he can't know his limit, then there's no justice forever. There's never anything in justice. Because you could always say, you don't know my limit? I don't know my... So I'm created as a being who never knows his limit. So therefore I can never know whether I'm right or wrong. So then I can never know what I'm doing. So that itself is unjust. Do you know what I mean? So there has to be a way. If you tell a man, you say, I want you to live justly. Now, if the man could never... That justly means that you must operate insofar as you can, right? Now, insofar as you can, has to have a meaning. You can't tell me it has no meaning. If it's an endless thing, so then I can never act insofar as I can. So you're giving me a situation which I can never cope with. Do you understand what I mean? There is no way you can't... You're creating a being, and you're telling him, do whatever you can. Well, how much is what I can? I want to know what to do. What you can, that's endless. That's endless, and then I can't possibly abide by the requirements. So that itself is an injustice. So you must say that what a person can do has a certain limit. And a person should be able to understand and know what he can do and what he can't do. Beyond that, he's not responsible anymore. Now, if that's the case, even though it's true, I want you to understand that most of us do not know what that limit is. But that's because of our weakness. But Eve was on a level where he knew. He knew exactly where. And a person who is rational should know where his limit is and should say, well, this is much I can do and beyond that I can't do. Now, therefore, once a person knows this, then you could say that God demands of him that he does as much as he can. Right? Now since Eve knows that he's done as much as... Therefore, that's the only other possibility, in other words. That when God tells you to do as much as you can, it must be something you can perceive. If you can't perceive it, then it's an impossible request. So you must say you can't perceive it. Now, if I can perceive it and I have done it, then there is nothing more than can be demanded of me. You see? It's a manafshach. Either I can't perceive it or I can't perceive it. If I can't perceive it, then it's an irrational request. Impossible request. Telling me to do something which I can't possibly. If I can perceive it, and I do perceive it, and I have done what I could, then there is nothing more that could be demanded of me. Then there's an injustice. He is capable of doing his capabilities. And perfect yourself insofar as you can. Now, insofar as you can has to have a meaning.
Right?
It has to have a limit. Now, he did it insofar as he could. God can't expect a man to be a malach. A man has to be a man insofar as he's a human being. He has to perfect himself as far as he's a human being. He has no way of understanding it. Yeah. That itself is injustice. Then God created a being who has no way of understanding it.
The way that God showed him that's not unjust. We'll bring in an external fact. He has no external fact on to bring in. We show that's not unjust.
Then what you're saying is that the basic idea of justice is wrong. He doesn't know what justice is. Right. That's an impossibility. He's operating on the premise that such thing as justice. Saying there's no such thing as justice, so then he can live any way he wants. What is he trying to be just all his life for? In other words, then we had that argument before. Then you're going to tell me that his idea of justice is not an idea. There's no such thing as justice, and that's exactly what he'll say. So he'll say, okay, so there's no such thing as justice. So then, what are we? You're trying to be just for? We don't know what justice is. So then, there's no reason to be righteous. No reason to be just. If that's the case, then you have a whole new world system. He's showing that the whole system of justice is impossible. You're catering to what he wants to say. You're telling me God's going to show him the whole new system of justice and this is not just. Oh, so then what am I killing myself to be just? And I shouldn't be good to a poor man. I shouldn't help a person who doesn't have any clothes. Shouldn't help a widow. This our whole idea of justice is wrong. So then we shouldn't be just. Then he'd agree with you. He'd say, okay, that's the end of the whole system.
Can't be aware of
it. Yeah. That a person has to keep on trying insofar as he can to do justice, right?
And he doesn't necessarily have to know.
But he never knows whether he has really done as much as he could. Whether he has done as much as he could depends totally on... only God knows whether he has done as much as he could. You see? It's a good question. It's a very good question. So therefore, God will say to you, in other words, if that's the case, that he hasn't done as much as he could. Correct? Okay. What do you say about that? There's no way God can answer him. Because since he knows as much as what he could do, and he's done that, correct? Since he knows what he's supposed to do, and he's done that much, right? What's God going to tell him? So he doesn't like that, saying, no. Maybe really, he'll never know whether he's done enough. A person doesn't know whether he's done enough. But a person has to keep on trying as much as he can. You see? And insofar as he, even though he never knows whether he's done enough or not, God knows whether he's done enough.
How could he
become very clear. Let's say, for instance, a person's supposed to try to learn Torah, right? Okay? Now, if we say a person's supposed to try to learn Torah, so we're saying that a person's supposed to try insofar as he can to learn Torah, right? Now, the point is like this. If you're going to say that the person can never know his limits, so let's see what happens. That means the man sits and learns Torah, right? It's getting dark, and he's getting very tired, but he doesn't know. He has to keep on learning, because he still doesn't know. Maybe he still is supposed to learn now, right? But what will happen to such an unfortunate individual is that eventually he will perish, because he'll find out that he'll be dead before he knows it, because there's a certain amount that the organism can tolerate, correct? I'm trying to give this example because I want to show you a case where a person has to know his limits. You see, now what will happen? I want to show you. If you're going to say, yeah, but I understand. But if you're going to say a person doesn't know his limits, so it shouldn't just be in an hour. It should be in everything. It should be in the amount of learning. It should be in quantity too. If you're going to tell me that a person does not know his limits, so it should not only be in terms of an hour. It should be in terms of how much time he learns. Also, why an hour? Take a minute. Say a person learn a minute a day.
You're right.
You mean to say a person? In that minute, you mean to say a person who... you mean to say that a person who learns a minute a day is a person who fulfilled all his obligations? If I learn 1 minute a day? But if the rule... You don't understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you that if you're going to tell me a person doesn't know his limit, it has to be true in every way, right? So it has to be true in quantity also. Now I'm going to show you it's impossible to say that. If you're going to maintain that a person does not know his limit, then I'll show you how could an individual possibly exist. If a person will not know his limit, so what's he going to do? So the man will push himself, keep pushing himself. But what will happen to such an individual? Such an individual will definitely fail. Now, and when he fails, is that wrong or is that right if he fails? You're going to have to say it's wrong. Because why is it wrong? Because you told the man to learn as much as he could, and here he didn't learn as much as he could because he failed. He could have learned much more if he would have learned 2 hours a day, then if he would have learned 25 hours, 20 hours, 24 hours a day, right? So you must say, in order for a person to execute properly that which he has to do, he has to go with knowledge about his own abilities, right? There is no other way that a person can do anything without knowledge of his abilities. Isn't that true? Because if he doesn't know what his abilities are, and he miscalculates, it's not the pshat. See, the question is based upon one assumption, that the more the better. Just keep doing more. But more the better is not true. Because if you do more when you're not supposed to do more, so then you're going to fail again. You see, either way, justice, living a just life, is dependent upon a certain balance. You have to get the balance. It's just like health in the body. You can't. The health in the body is brought about not by specific things, but by a certain balance between the things that we have. Now, if a person will have too much water in his system, or will have too little water, so then he's going to be unhealthy. You can't say, keep on putting in more water. That's what we need, water. Have as much as you could, because eventually he's going to destroy his body, you see? So the point is, everything that has to be done must be done with a certain balance, and the same thing in life also. A person must be just, and a person must learn. A person has a certain obligation to do. Now, if a person doesn't know his limits, so then he can't act properly. And by doing, overdoing is just as bad as underdoing. It's not the pshat I can overdo the situation. You see? Now since there's no such thing as overdoing the situation, there is no way for me to act except by an assessment of my own limits. I have no other means, no other method of approach other than an assessment of my own limits. Now, therefore, God tells me to assess my limits as far as I can, and then operate. Oh, now I know I've assessed my limits as far as I can, and that's it. Now there's no more information that could possibly be given to me. Right, correct. And if you're going to tell me that I never know when I assess my limits, that means I have to spend my life assessing my limits, which itself would be an inherent injustice. So therefore, what I'm trying to show you is that excess is just as detrimental, doing too much. Excess is just as detrimental as a diminution. You know what I mean? So therefore, once we say that, you see, then Eve's argument is a very good one. Since whatever you're going to tell me to do, if, for instance, let's say a person in a position where he has to help the poor, right? And he has the poor standing over him day and night. So what'll he do? He'll keep working and help the poor until he dies. Now, that's not helping the poor, because if he would have gone to sleep, it could have helped the poor for the next 20 years. This way, he only helped the poor for 5 days, you see? So that would be an injustice, you see? So therefore, he's going to have to make an assessment and say, 1 second, what would be the best situation in terms of helping the poor? The best situation is, even though they're clamoring at the door outside right now, and they're going hungry, but I have to go to sleep, otherwise they're going to all die in a short while, right? So therefore, he has to make this evaluation. So the point is, a person must operate on the basis of his knowledge of his own limitations. Otherwise, he can't possibly carry out justice. That's inherent in the idea of justice. You see, now once a person has done that, made that decision, see, insofar as he can, you see, then you can't ask any more of the man. You cannot ask any more of the man. It's an impossibility. Okay, yes. Suffering makes a person better is absurd. It's an absurdity. That's an absurdity, yeah. Because... Yeah, it's a Christian idea. That's an absurdity. Because according to Yahadis, it's a Christian idea. According to Yahadis, the way an organism thrives is when it has the conditions that's necessary, most necessary for its existence. Not when you detract from the conditions that are necessary for its existence. Now, suffering comes from a detraction. It would be like saying, if you want an animal to grow better, take away his nutrients. It's absurd. There's our definition of perfection means when the individual is living in its best possible state. Now, in the best possible state requires certain requirements. You see, Now, the reason why the person needs food, needs nutrition, needs all the things, is in order to have the best possible state for man. Now, if you take away his necessities, you can only harm him. You cannot possibly benefit him. There's no way. Oh, that's if he did something wrong. Because it wasn't even wrong premises. The only way, if an individual perfects himself, in other words, God created an individual. Now, if the man takes the opportunity to perfect himself and reaches the height of his perfection, follows naturally what he was supposed to do, then on the contrary, then he's reached the limit, and that's it. There's no reason for the only time you have onshim and yisurim is only if there's a chait. There's an imperfection. And if the person is perfect, then there's absolutely no. Then it's absurd. Do you know what I mean? You can't say that the way for a person to reach perfection is through pain. That's well, has done something wrong. What? Yeah. A lot of fast. Chaylos plays also. Tinus is not anybody. What? If you're not, this is an amazing phenomenon. It shows the Amita Satara. Torah was given thousands of years ago, and 613 mitzvahs and thousands of halachas. And there isn't one halacha that's harmful to man. Not one. It's an amazing thing. You take a look at their rules, their regulations, their religious regulations, you'll find a tremendous amount of harm that's caused by following those things. But there's not one thing in the Torah that's harmful to a person. Not one thing. Thousands of halachas, not one thing that's harmful to a person. Gross imperfection. For God to create an organism, that the only way that it can reach perfection is through something which detracts from its nature, that would be an imperfection. On the contrary, an organism must be created in the way that it reaches its perfection through its natural attaining its natural needs. Not by removal, not by pain. Then there's something wrong with the organism. Yes.
What's the concept of
It doesn't. Inui means that a person experiences the pain. Yeah, but it's not. But yeah, that's right. But it's not a harmful thing. It's not harmful. A person doesn't eat breakfast. Also, he has a pain. It's not harmful. There's nothing entirely harmful to a person. Not in any way.
So the suffering which is harmful than the suffering.
What people have are that there's one thing. That's one thing. The more what it really is harmful is that people go according to the way things feel. If the thing feels good, they think it is good. I think if anything, modern science has shown us that rule is definitely false. Because the foods that taste good are not good for you, and things that feel good are not good. If a person jogs, runs in 10 degrees where he feels like he's killing himself, that is a healthy act. But if he sits in front of a television eating all kinds of junk and enjoying himself, that happens to be a harmful thing. So the on the contrary, a person cannot go by the feelings that by his feelings. He has to go by the reality. Full stomach 24 hours a day. It's not the way it's made. Knowledge. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And more. But that was Eliphaz's argument all along. Eliphaz's argument is you could always do more. That's his argument.
He's the
level of Eve. They couldn't tolerate such objective reality. It's a high level here. You know what I mean? It's a high level. Yeah, it's a fearful. To live on such a level is frightening. Frightening thing. Because it's a person realizes that a lot of things that don't... A person is very comfortable with certain emotions that he has. Makes his life comfortable. And usually a person will go through life